is the goal. Therefore, what we want to do is make sure that as we're standing, we're giving out the gospel. By the way, people still need to be saved in 2017. Would you agree with me? Say amen.
Amen.
They still need to be saved. By the way, if God saw fit to save you, don't you think he wants to save somebody else? Amen. I was reading in the next book that we're going to go through next week, and they said that when the Twin Towers got hit by the terrorists, do you think the EMT and the firemen and the policemen and all those rushing up the stairs stopped to say, okay, now, how many blacks are here? How many whites are here? How many affluent are here? How many make 400,000 here? And let's save them first, and then we'll come back and get everybody. You think they said that? No, they didn't say that. Why? Everybody needed to be saved. I mean, once the Twin Towers got on fire and started crumbling, everybody needed to be saved. And so there was not the question of who should be saved. Everybody needed to be saved. When it comes to you and I with the gospel in 2017, we got to remember, everybody needs to be saved. I don't care who they are, they need to be saved. You say, well, they're saved already. Amen. Let them tell you then. Amen. Because they need to be saved. And so as we're standing here, never lose sight of verse number 12. And verse 11, he says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There is still a real devil out there, and the real devil is still has the blinders over people's eyes, and they are bamboozled. By the way, before you got saved, guess what you were? Bamboozled. The devil had you hook, line, and sinker. All of us. Paul said all of us had our walks according to the prince of the power of the air. We were all that way. Somebody had to give us the blessed word of God to break through the foolishness of our sin and get us saved. Amen. For me, it took a long time. Amen. For you, it might have been very, very quick. But he says the devil has some wiles, some tricks, some schemes. And so he says in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Never forget that. The person that rejects the gospel from you, you're not wrestling against him. It's not about him and you. It's about you and the devil. So never look at that person and say, well, they rejected the gospel. It's not about you. It's about the devil fighting against you because he doesn't want to let that soul go. By the way, I believe, now I never asked him this, but when I was I had the chance when Brother Rod Branch was witnessing to me, I never asked him how many obstacles did he fall into trying to get to me to give me the gospel. I never asked him how difficult it was to come and meet me every week when he came to meet me. And I've got my Colt 45 there and I'm sitting, amen. I ain't talking about the gun either, amen. And I'm sitting there all inebriated and he's still talking to me. You know, I never did ask him how much grief did you go through just to come and talk to me? I bet he went through a lot. Yeah. Why? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, folks. This is not a battle that you can see. By the way, if you've got an enemy that you cannot see, you need an adversary or you need somebody to stand in the gap for you that they cannot see as well. Because guess what? The devil and God can see each other. You and I can't see the devil, nor can we see his demons. And so if the devil is fighting against you and he's an enemy that you can't see, you need someone else that you can't see to fight somebody that you can't see. Can I get an amen? You say you lost me in one of those can't sees. Amen. You know, I need somebody, a stronger one than I am, to defeat that one. Why? On our own, we are no match for the devil. Let's just be honest. That's why the Bible says be strong in where? The Lord. And where? In the power of his might. Put on what? The whole armor of who? God. That you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the who? The devil. Why? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is not a battle that you can go hand-to-hand combat with. Pastor White, we can't get him in the trenches in the foxhole and stick him with the bayonet like back in the old wars. It doesn't work that way. We can't nuke Satan. We can't throw a bomb at Satan. We can't shoot Satan. We can't harm the demons. We have no capability. By the way, they're spirit beings. You can't hurt or kill a spirit being. Amen. God's going to confine them eventually. There are some confined already, but you can't hurt. Well, how are you going to hurt a spirit? I mean, it's one thing like when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Now, he was not a spirit being. He was a body. And what did they do? They conspired to put him to death again. Guess what? Jesus could have raised him back again. But a spirit is something totally different. And so we've got to come to grips with, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we'll look at those two verses Sunday morning and Sunday night as we detail some things there. But this book is being put in your hands so that you can have a fresh review of people that you're dealing with right now. And you can have them in your pocket. You can put them right there. You can put it up here. You can put it in your purse. You can put it in your back pocket. And whenever you meet somebody that's a potential prospect, you can put them in this book. By the way, I've got about 50. And they're not all going to fit in this book. You say, well, preacher, what are you going to do? Get a second book. Amen. And so we looked at the introduction here. Flip with me over a few pages here. Go to page number 10. Says, what is a prospect list? We talked about that. It's people that you want to put down. Who do I include on my prospect list? That's anybody you want to see saved. And then go over to page number 12. How do I use my prospect list? Verse 13, I pray daily over it. I contact weekly in different ways. And then number 3 on page 14, I update it regularly. I encourage you to use a pencil. And then 14, page 14 at the bottom, it's a tool to get people involved with your life and you and theirs. And then we looked at page, the first page here, which says prospect 1. And in prospect 1, you've got a place for the date you first contacted this individual, their name, their address, their city, their phone number, their email, the point of contact, their interest and background if you know it, and then some dates or comments there. And I mentioned to you that every time I make a follow-up on somebody, I put a comment down. I went to my coworker that he and I were stationed here at Davis-Monthan back in 84 to 88. He got orders and went to Spangdahlem over there where Pastor White was at. I got orders and went over to Belgium. And I used to go up to his place in Germany, and that was back in my BC days. And he and I would do some things that weren't godly. And so I got saved and came back here. And as soon as I got back here, he found me. Now, I don't know how he knew I was here. But from some events that happened, he got sent back here and I got sent back here. By that time, I'm saved. So what do you think I wanted to do to him? I wanted to get him saved. Why? I was saved. We used to hang out together. We used to go to places. They were ungodly places. But I counted him a friend. He counted me a friend. I'd be less than a friend if I didn't tell him who I found in Belgium. What would you say? Amen. And we would be less than a friend if we didn't tell somebody about the friend that we found. Amen. And so this book is going to help us tell people about our friend that we have that saved our soul. Amen. And so praise God. I went by his house on Saturday and he wasn't there, but his mom was there. I got a chance to talk to his mom and invited the whole family out. And I don't know if they're going to come this Sunday, but I'm praying that they will. He was gracious enough. The one time that he did come, he let Pastor White sit down and share the gospel with him. Remember Rodney Kirk? Share the gospel with him. Now, he didn't get saved. But guess what? The seed was planted. The seed was planted. By the way, when it comes to, let me read you something. I just read this week, and it really blessed my heart. This is one of the soul winning tips that I give out each Saturday when we show up here. And it says, dealing with unbelievers. It says, no Christian who regularly does his best to point others to the Savior will work at it very long before he meets someone who claims to be an unbeliever. How many of y'all say amen to that? Do you meet more unbelievers or believers? Unbelievers. Do you know how quick it is to get discouraged when you meet unbelievers? Because they don't want to have anything to do with you or your God. We gave the van to Junk for Jesus just yesterday. And I told the guy, I said, well, since you're working for Junk for Jesus, I would assume you know Jesus. He gave me one of those looks like, I don't have a clue who he is. And we began to talk, and, you know, he said, well, I got saved a couple times already. I said, well, only one time really counts. So one time. But now he's working for Junk for Jesus and didn't even know who Jesus is. So there's going to be a lot of unbelievers there. It says this person could simply claim to be an atheist or an evolutionist or just claim to have problems in believing all the Bible. In fact, one of the major fears which many Christians have, one which keeps them from regularly witnessing to others, is the dread of meeting this type of person while out soul winning. How many can say amen to that? You don't mind knocking on that door when the person says, what must I do to be saved? You want to knock on that door. But the ones that's going to be belligerent to you, Pastor White, and say, get that junk out of here. Or like when me and Faith went up there and knocking on the door, get that stuff out of here. Those are the ones you don't want to meet. Those are the ones that kind of turn you off. He says, for this reason, many Christians simply keep the gospel to themselves and never learn to be obedient to the Bible's clear commandments dealing with personal soul winning. He says, how thrilling it is to recognize that this does not have to be the case. Little understanding and advanced preparation will help us to overcome this fear and even possibly point many of these prospects to the Savior. He says, when you encounter people who claim not to believe, they generally fall into two categories. All right, y'all ready for these two categories? Those who are hard, indifferent, and normally obnoxious. That's one category. And then those who are genuine. They are interested in the gospel, but genuinely have areas of unbelief and questions. Now, I fit into category number two. I was genuinely interested, but I had so many doubts because there were so many religions going on and so many beliefs out there. My sister was a Muslim. My dad was Catholic. My mom was Baptist. Jehovah's Witness came to our house. The Mormons came. I mean, I had all this stuff and I was raised in a Catholic church. And I mean, I thought, wait a minute. Then I saw the way Christians act and I said, that can't be right. And I saw Islam. I said, that can't be right. And the Mormons, that can't be right. Black people don't even have a soul. So I know that ain't right. Amen. There was so much fun. And I thought, I'm just tired of this. It's foolish. And so I was genuinely interested, but genuinely turned off. How many of y'all was like that before? I'm the only one that was like that. Y'all all righteous, huh? I'm the only wicked person here.
I'm wicked.
Andrew is saying, yeah, Pastor, you're the only one. Amen. The Tigger syndrome. Amen. All right. He said, those are the two groups. He says, all we can do with the first group is try to be extremely charitable and give the gospel to them, if at all possible. If not, you'll simply have to pray for them and go on and present the gospel to someone else. So that's the obnoxious group. Those not interested, get out my face. I'll kick you if you come back group. It says, however, the second group, you can normally present the gospel many times and see these questioning souls come to Christ. That was me. And that's when Rod Branch met with me every week. I think he could sense that I had genuine questions. Okay. It goes on to say this, regardless of which unbeliever you are dealing with, always remember there are two basic spiritual powers which will draw this person to the Lord, break his heart, and cause him to respond if he is going to do so. Who knows what the first one is? The Word of God is the first one. What's the second power that's going to deal with that individual? The Holy Spirit of God. Those are the two main powers for the genuinely seeking person that is going to move them. Is going to be the Word of God coupled by the Spirit of God. That being said, he says this. Therefore, each soul winner must remember that it is imperative to establish and maintain a clear Bible presentation of the gospel to these people, if at all possible. He says, it is the blessed Holy Spirit who plants the seed, causes the gospel to convict, and ultimately draws them to the Savior. We are but ambassadors. So never feel rejected, put down, or a failure if you cannot win someone to Christ. Our responsibility is to go in the power of the Holy Spirit and to make a clear gospel presentation. I like this. He says, remembering this, I normally set aside the person's area of unbelief and kindly ask if he will let me present the gospel. By doing this, you're avoiding a conflict or a long philosophical exchange, which will not help him or you. And you are presenting the one thing that can make a difference, the Word of God. Now the Spirit of God's got something to work with. So in other words, what he's saying, if he gets to someone and says, well, I don't believe this, I don't believe this, I don't believe that. What he merely says is, OK, that being said, let's just set that aside. But can I show you what the Bible says? And guess what's going to happen? The Word of God's going to get where? Now, what can the Holy Spirit do? Work on it. If I don't even get the chance to give them the gospel, what's going to work? Remember, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. He says this. After clear presentation of the gospel, proceed to draw the net on the unbeliever the same way you would with anyone else. Remember, all he can say is no. This is between him and God and not him and you. And he just goes on to say some things about making sure that you have a clear presentation of the gospel and get it to them if they're genuinely interested. Now, if they're obnoxious, he says, you know, that ain't a whole lot you can do besides pray for them. But if they're genuinely interested, you can put a track in their hand. You can say, can I show you the gospel? I was talking to you about John Bryant. I'm praying for him. He was one that I said, can I show you what the Bible has to say? Finally, he let me sit down with him and show him what the Bible had to say. Did he get saved? No, but neither did I the first time. But now I guarantee you, the the Holy Spirit's working on it. Why? He said his word would not return void. Okay, so with your book here, you can write down some comments on there about things that happen here. The way you follow up down there, you can do it by phone, email, text, or visit. You can do all of the above. Amen. But you've got 50 places there. Is it 50? 40? 47. All right. Now go back to page 65 in the back of your books there. Go through a couple things here real quick. Page 65. By the way, we should all know these things that we're going to talk about here, but this we're going to review these things anyway, according to 2 Peter 1:12. Let's look at that real quick, 2 Peter 1:12. Peter was about to die. Notice what he says in 2 Peter. One thing that I did not like when I was a young boy was for my mother to tell me something that I already knew. Anybody want to take a wild guess why she told me something that I already knew? I wasn't doing it the first time. And I already knew it, but I wasn't doing it. So 2 Peter 1:12, and notice what Peter says to the Christian brethren here that are scattered abroad. He says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in what? Remembrance of these things, though ye what? Know them, and be what? Established in the present truth. He said, you know this already. You're already established. You got it going on. He said, but you're not doing these things now. Notice what he says in verse 13. Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in what? Remembrance. Knowing that surely I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in what? Remembrance. Peter said, look, I know you know this. And I'm just reminding you, by the way, I know that we know this. I'm just reminding us why those precious souls outside these doors are still dying. And there are many more Greg Dawson's out there, many more Ken Duffy's out there. I remember Brother Duffy was just telling me, when's your spiritual birthday, brother?
April
18th. When Brother Duffy first came to the church, now he and Jerry weren't together at the time, but they had been witnessing to him. And he came to the church. Now you were saved before you came to church, right? Or afterwards?
Afterwards,
amen. And I went to go visit Brother Duffy in the hospital. He had some problems and went there. His son had already led him to Christ when he went back to, was it Michigan?
Virginia.
And Brother Duffy got saved and came back. And Jerry had been praying for him to get saved. They weren't even together. But she was praying for him. Jerry said, look, I got saved and I want you to get saved. And so pray for him to get saved. And guess what? He got saved. And here he is. Amen. So we know these things. Basic gospel scriptures here. Of course, gospel means good news, which is said there. And that gives us the opportunity to tell people about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And by the way, never forget the power of the gospel. Go back to Romans 1:17. Romans 1:17. I think so many times we get so inundated with philosophy and things and religion and religious things that we forget the power of the gospel. I'm sorry, Romans 1:16 and 15. And Pastor White, read 15 and 16 for me. Amen. Paul said, you know what? I'm ready to preach and I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's that power of God. And so you and I've got to make sure that we give the gospel out. And so page 65 talks about that. At the bottom, it says that you don't want to complicate the message, but you also don't want to oversimplify. How can I oversimplify the gospel? Which we hear all the time. Joe? Basically, just believe and just say a prayer. By the way, when's the last time a prayer saved somebody? Last time I checked, it's not the prayer that saved. It's the gospel message and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ that saved. So you can pray 1,000 prayers and not be saved.
Save me.
Say, preacher,
save me.
Preacher, how you know that, preacher? I prayed every night that the Lord would save me. Well, I'm talking about when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I prayed, now I lay me down to sleep. I prayed, Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I prayed, Lord, my soul to take. I said, Lord, now if I die before I wake, I want to go to heaven. I prayed that almost every night. When I got old as a young man, I prayed the same thing in boot camp. I prayed the same thing in tech school. I prayed the same thing when I came to Davis Monthan at my duty station. I would read my Bible and get on my knees every night, and I would pray that same prayer as an adult man. And guess what? One day God sent me somebody to show me what I really need to do to be saved. And so it is the power of God. And so some people like to oversimplify it. And then some folks want to complicate it. Folks, our job is not to oversimplify or complicate it, but just give out the death, the burial, and the resurrection, how it affects their life and what they need to know. So that's what that beginning part talks about there. And by the way, they only need to understand the gospel itself. They don't need to understand that Adam have a belly button. They don't need to know that. They don't need to know if God can make a rock so big that he can't pick it up. They don't need to know that. They don't need to know how many stars are out there in the universe. They don't need to know that. They don't need to know anything about the apocryphal books or the Dead Sea Scrolls. They don't need to know those things. They don't need to know, you know, how many kids did Methuselah have and how many kids did Adam have and where did Cain get his wife from. They don't need to know that. What they need to know that they're lost and they need to get saved. But you say, preacher, how do you know that? I tried to ask all those questions and it got me absolutely nowhere. Nowhere. Why do you think the guy met with me for 3 months? I had all those questions. And guess what it got me? I was just as lost at the first question as I was at the last question. You know what question actually got me saved? What must I do to be saved? Amen. All the other questions didn't matter. So keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate it, but don't oversimplify it as well. And they let you know in here to make sure you memorize the Romans Road and things like that. Come over to page 69. And page 69. Again, these are some things that we already know. It's a simple gospel outline. Realize your condition. By the way, the same things that are in here are on the 3x5 card outside, as well as the track. On the back here, you'll find the fact of sin, the penalty of sin, Jesus paid for sin, and forgiveness of sin. You'll find the same thing on this track in the middle. That's what people really need to know. That they need to know the simple message. Now, watch this. 69, realize your condition. What is that? The fact of sin. By the way, how many have sinned? Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. By nature, we're sinners, and by choice, we're sinners, and it's contrary to God's law. Turn it over. The Bible says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Page 70 says, notice God's price for sin. You know what that is according to this one? The penalty of sin. That's an outline that's right on the back here. Fact of sin and penalty of sin. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is what? Death. By the way, a wage is something you earn. So all our life, we earn death. By what, preacher? Our sin. And so it requires a payment. By the way, it will be paid for by us in hell, or it will be paid for at the cross where Jesus died. Amen. That's why the gospel is so important for you and I to say, hey, look, you know, it's the death and the burial and the resurrection. It was for you. We have to personalize that to them, let them know it was for me and it was for you. And so the price for sin is there, or the fact of sin and the penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. But then they say down at the bottom of page 70, realize that Christ died for you. On the card again, it says Jesus paid for sin. So it says the fact of sin, Romans 3:23, penalty of sin, Romans 6:23, Jesus paid for sin, Romans 5:8. Christ died for us, but God commended his love toward us. And while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so therein is a very simple message. You're detailing the fact of sin. You're letting them know that their condition requires them to do something about it. You're letting them know the price for sin. If they do nothing, they're going to die. By the way, I was just dealing with a young man last week, or the week before last. And I said, what is sin? And he said, well, I don't know. And I said, have you ever done any bad things? He said, yeah. I said, sin is bad things. I said, have you ever done bad things? He said, ooh, yeah. I said, guess what? Because of those bad things, guess what has to happen? I said, somebody's got to pay for it. And he got that look like, okay, yeah, I'm sure you're going to tell me about who's going to pay for it because I don't want to pay for it. And I said, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. His eyes lit up like, now you told me about these bad things. Now you're telling me somebody's going to pay for my bad things? He's like, this is getting better by the moment. He said, well, I just told my brother that if he got saved, he couldn't sin anymore. I said, guess what? I said, if you get saved, you will still sin. I said, but the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He's like, wow, you signed me up for that program. That sounds like good stuff. Amen. And so he ended up getting saved. So although we're lost and separated from God, he loved us and he sent his son to die for us. And turn over to another page here. Confess your faith in Christ. You've got to transfer your sin by repenting and giving it to the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, the price has already been paid. It would be as if you had a coupon to redeem something free and you don't redeem it. Do you still get it?
No.
Mrs. White gives us coupons all the time. We go and redeem those coupons. We want to take those things down there and cash them in. My wife goes through the newspapers and she goes through and she picks out all the free stuff. You get free peanut butter, free water, free this, that. The only thing you do is take the coupon in and they give you free stuff. And she looks for those at Fry's. And I say, honey, you're not going to buy some? She says, I'm not going to buy a thing. I say, you're not going to feel bad about going into the store, not buying anything, getting all this free? She says, I'm not going to feel bad about it all. Go up there and set those coupons up there and get all that free stuff and walk right out. Now, what is their goal in giving you the free stuff?
To buy more.
They want to catch you so you can buy some stuff. My wife is smarter than that. She's not going to buy anything. Amen. Confess your faults. Page 72. By the way, Romans 10, 9 and 11 is listed there, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With mouth confession is made unto salvation. By the way, therein lies where the person will really get saved or not. They will not get saved by praying a prayer. They will get saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. They've got to believe in their heart that Jesus Christ truly did die on the cross for their sins. He truly was buried. He truly was raised again. And it's not the prayer that saves them. It's their faith in Christ that saves them. So remember that. It's not about the prayer. Not about the prayer. They can pray 1,000 prayers. Can the devil pray? Devil can pray. Is that going to save him? Ain't going to save him at all. And so to be saved speaks of being saved from the penalty of our sins and eternity in hell. And so God promises that if we realize our condition and confess our faith in Christ, that he is the substitute for us, we can be saved. Why? Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. So it's all about you and I making sure in whom we're calling upon. By the way, I can't save you. You can't save me. Can't save each other. But Jesus Christ can save us. All right. And so notice down there in verse number 70 at 73. Notice right after the verse, Romans 10:13. Notice what it says there. At this point, I'm very sensitive to how the person is responding. If he's been attentive and it seems the Holy Spirit is working conviction in his heart, I'll continue our conversation by inviting him to call on the Lord Jesus by faith for salvation. But if he's distracted and only giving cursory mental assent to these truths, I'll likely pull back and give the Holy Spirit time to work in his heart. It is very imperative that you and I at that point be Holy Spirit sensitive and conscious, because folks can say a whole lot of things just to get you out their face. And so it behooves you and I to make sure that we pull back the reins a little bit, make sure they're really serious about this and letting them know what it is they're about to do and why they're doing it. And I'll normally step back and say, okay, so do you understand you're a sinner? They say, yes. I said, do you understand that the wages of sin is death? They say, yes. I said, so what happens if you do nothing from this point on? They say, well, I'll die and go to hell. I said, okay, just want to make sure. I said, now you believe that? Yeah, I believe that. I said, okay. Now the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I said, now the Bible says that God wants to give you a gift. I said, now if you keep your sin and don't take the gift, what's going to happen? I'm going to hell. I said, but now if you put your sin on the cross where Jesus died for that and you take the gift of eternal life, what's going to happen? They said, well, I'm going to heaven. I said, it's just that simple. I said, but you've got to believe that and you've got to trust that. And so as you're looking at this this plan here, you got to make sure that several things here that he says here. Notice that the second paragraph. Do you believe that you're a sinner separated from God is a question that he asks without the ability to save yourself. Next thing he says, do you believe that Jesus, God's son, shed his blood to pay for your sin? Next thing, would there be anything that would keep you from turning to and trusting in Jesus as your Savior today? So those are questions that he asks in preparation for the person to get saved. And so you can look at some of those things, and I tell you, it'll be a blessing. Go over to page number 80. Page number 80, want to look at some things here. 79, I'm sorry. These are commonly asked questions, and I'm sure you've heard these many, many times. I know I have. I've always been a Christian. How many of y'all heard that one before? I was born a Christian. Everybody in my family's a Christian. We're all saved. Amen. My daddy was a preacher. My mom was a deacon, a Sunday school teacher. My dad was a priest. My mom was a nun. I was born into this Christian home, blah, blah, blah. Was anybody born saved? David said, "In what? In iniquity was I shapen, and sin did my mother bear me." Amen. So there's none righteous, no, not one. By the way, was Mary a sinner?
Yes.
Yes. She was a virgin sinner, but she was still a sinner. Amen. And so he gives you some verses there. I've always been a Christian. Gives you Psalm 51:5. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me." John 3:3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Second question there, I asked God to forgive me many times. Believe it or not, I just heard that last Sunday. The young lady that got saved, I took her back in the office to talk to her boys about baptism. And as we began talking, I said, "Now, ma'am, now how about you?" And she said, "Oh, man." She said, "You know, I asked the Lord to forgive me all the time." I said, "But when did it count? And when did you ask him to forgive you of your sin, period?" She said, "Oh, I do it all the time." And I pulled the fast one on her, passed away. I said, "When was this one born?" She says, "Such and such and such a date." I said, "When was that one born?" "Such and such and such a date." I said, "When was that one born?" "Such and such and such." I said, "When was you born again?" She said, "I see what you're trying to do now." I said, "Do you have a date?" She said, "No, I don't have a date." I said, "If you don't have a date," I said, "how do you know you've been born again?" I said, "You've asked about all these times. You got all these dates, and you say you asked all the time." I said, "What time really mattered?" And I said, "If it really mattered, I think you would remember that. You remember your children's birthdays because that's special. Being born again is special." I said, "I think you would remember that even though you may not have a date, you still know that something happened to you on that day. If I didn't even know February 3rd, 1991, I can still close my eyes and see me with Brother Dunn at the German church upstairs with that Bible being open, and I can see our moves and everything. So if I ever lost a date, I still see it happen. And I know it happened, and I left different." And so I asked God to forgive me many times. I'd said that, amen. And make sure. By the way, do we ever live January 18th? 2017 over again? Today is January 18, 2017. Are we ever going to live that over again? Can you be born again physically? No. Just like you can't be born again again. If you're born again, you're born again. If you're not born again, you're not born again. I've got to do that thing, and I only do it once. All these subsequent times, you say, "Well, I got saved 3, 4, 5 times." No, you only got saved once. You only was born once. You only lived that day once. And so the next one on page 81, this is too simple. I need to do something to earn it. Amen. Next page on that, page 82. I'm good enough. I'm not a very bad sinner. By the way, it doesn't matter if you're a good sinner or a bad sinner. So all sin is bad. 83, doesn't death end everything? How do we know there is a real heaven and a real hell? Because God said there is. Amen. And he gives you some verses there. I don't want to give up my lifestyle or my friends. Amen. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. By the way, if a person doesn't want to give up their sin, they can't be saved. Can I get an amen? If a person doesn't want to give up their sin, they can't be saved. Period. Why? Jesus died for sin. So how can I say I'm turning to Jesus to be saved from my sin, but I'm not going to let go of my sin? That's like saying I'm holding on to the burning building trying to be saved. Doesn't work that way. And so I think, for top of page 86, I think as long as I'm sincere and what I believe, that's all that matters. Verse Proverbs 14:12, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So those things are listed there. Page 88, these are habits of fruitful soul winners. Number one, fruitful soul winners seek the Holy Spirit's filling. And number two, they pray for a burden. Number three on page 89, they're prepared to share the gospel at every opportunity. Four, they schedule time for soul winning. Five, they keep an updated prospect list. Six, they are hospitable. Seven, they involve new converts in soul winning. So this book will be an aid to you and an asset to you. And I encourage you to use that here in the new year since we're starting a brand new year. Our theme is stand. Let's stand for souls. Let's stand for Christ. And let's stand to see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ just like we know him. By the way, if you've got something good, aren't you going to share it? Amen. Brother Kiefer had got the grant for the $50,000. Guess what he did? He shared it, not the money, but he shared the news that he got the money. And praise God. Hey, remember we got the $495,000 for this building? Amen. We shared that news. We told everybody. And so salvation is something good. So take this book, use it as an aid, as a tool. Next week, there's another one that we're going to go over as well, just to refresh us in some soul winning tactics and habits. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you as well. Amen. If you didn't get one of these, get with Brother Gary. He can get you one on the way out. Amen. But get those filled out. Next week, it'll be a brand new book. Put it in your hands. We'll fill it out. Amen. It'll be for you to have. And let's get a burden for souls. We want to see God save people from sin and hell and death. Amen. All right. Don't forget your children. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. We're going to be dismissed in a word of prayer. Pastor White, give us any last minute words that we need to have, and then go ahead and dismiss us in a word of prayer and get your children.